Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You ever have those moments where you, I like to call them come to Jesus moments. You know, I used to have, I used to be talked about like when I was a kid about having come to Jesus moments. That's where you're faced with reality, you know, when you're faced with the truth of things. But, you know, so often I'm faced with the truth that, man, oh man, what would we do without the Lord? What would we do without God? Amen. You know, just getting to the pulpit, from being in the pulpit the last time I saw you to getting in the pulpit tonight, I've been through an array of things. I've completely failed, and I've completely been set free, and I've completely started over and completely relied on God. You know how many things that we can go through in a week, amen? And I haven't gone through anything bad. There hasn't been any major trial, but it just, you know, the day, the process of the day, you know, we all have thoughts and we all have things that we deal with. But thank God that He has called us to something, and thank God that He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us, amen? Because without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't get very far, amen? Praise the Lord. We're given the Word, and He said the Word was enough. We'll give you the Holy Spirit too, amen? Praise the Lord. And He didn't say it was just going to hang out with us. He was going to abide near us, but He would abide in us. And He would help us to know, help us to go, help us to flow, and anything else that rhymes with it that works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. I am excited about this message. You know, I told you on Sunday that I got Tuesday's message on Saturday. And I kind of did, but it kind of changed as well, so it doesn't really matter, but it does, you know, it's all good. I mean, there's elements of that in there, so there's elements of what's got to be in here today too, amen. Praise the Lord, and we're just going to get into all that God has for us. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called and Appointed. Praise the Lord. I don't know why I always look up there. It's like I got to see it to believe it, you know. Just don't want to, that's what I think I called it, but we're gonna look up there just to make sure. But called and appointed, praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about knowingly living in dependency. Hallelujah. But dependency on the right thing. You know, we've been teaching about and talking about the, you know, being Spirit-led, and those things have been important. And I just believe that this goes along with that. I think it works right into it. Because we have to know something, being Christians. It's just not enough to be a Christian. You got to know something. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're so thankful for the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God ensures that you know something. Now, you thought you knew something before you knew God, but once you know God, you really know something. Amen? And it's important to really know something. Glory to God, because if you don't know something, praise the Lord, you know nothing. Yeah. That was profound. And that'll help you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Called and appointed. Knowingly living in dependency. We have got to get to a place where we are wholly, wholly, wholly dependent on God. We've spent too much time being dependent on things, depending on the government, dependent on, you know, the economy, dependent on the weather, dependent on this, dependent on that. If there's anything that Western New Yorkers should know, it's how to be dependent. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because we have everything shaken up for us all the time, don't we? It goes from one degree of weather to the next. You know, I love the wintertime. I love the snow. I'm always not quite ready for it, though. As most people are, but then it's always so pretty too, and so it sucks you in, or yeah, or at least it sucks me in. Praise the Lord, but glory to God. But we're so thankful for being able to have change so often, or we should be, because it helps us with the rest of life. Amen. Being able to walk things out. Well, this was part of Saturday's message. What I'm going to say to you, so we'll share that. It has to be more to us than just fulfilling a call. Or just fulfilling the call. It has to be about what God has called us for. Now, you know, we have to understand too as Christians, I'm going to take a break to say this, but we have to understand as Christians that it's, you know, the call is much more than just for a pastor. It's much more than just for a minister. We're all called. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're thankful that we are, because if we're called, then we get the Holy Spirit. The Word applies to us. The blood of Jesus covers us. All those things that we were thankful for. But there is a call for each and every one of us. It's a call to come up higher. It's a call to be in something more. It's a call to live differently. It's a call to be out of where you were. In fact, the number one issue I see with a lot of Christians is the fact that they never enter the call. And what I mean by that is just like, well, Pastor Jeff, what do you mean by the call? Do you mean like, you know, is there some big call or something like that? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being called into the body of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that nobody can come to the Son unless the Father draws them. Or we could say it like this, unless the Father calls them. But when God has called us, he's called us to be different than what we were. He's called us into something new, amen? Yeah. But the problem is so many Christians, they never enter something new. They stay in the old. They stay where they were, and then they wonder why nothing is different. They may get excited for a time. They may feel moved for a time. They may have good things happen for a time. But eventually, the fact that they haven't entered into the call will raise itself up and becomes a reality in their life. Amen. We have to determine why God has called us, and that has to be our drive. It's not enough to know what God wants you to do, but we also have to know why. We have to understand the why. You know, the why isn't something that you're going to just ask God for and you're going to get an answer like that. It's not like picking up the phone and calling the Lord and saying, hey, God, why? And he tells you why, praise the Lord. Or getting on a CB radio or Instagram or instant message. Do they do instant messenger anymore? Anything like that? I don't know. Textbook, Facebook, whatever. Text message. You might be here. I haven't got here yet, so you just have to forgive me. Praise the Lord. But any way that we're going to come, you know, we're not going to get the answer. We're not going to get it that way. Man, it comes from seeking the Lord. And again, when I was talking earlier about this, like, you know, living beyond your ability or things that you have control over, this is exactly one of them. Our faith literally becomes something that we rely on God for. I said our faith becomes something that we rely on God for. That's what the very nature of our faith is. That he brings you to a place where you realize that you ain't got the answer. Hallelujah. You get you to a place, he brings you to the place where you realize that you don't know. You don't know which door to go through. You don't know which way to go. And that's okay. It's good to be like that. Because then that causes you to be in complete dependency on the Lord. In fact, I've learned this as I've matured a little bit in the faith, and just very little. Some people might question that, but I have matured a little bit from where I was. But I learned this the further that I go, it doesn't get easier in the sense that I know everything. It actually gets a little bit more difficult in the fact that I have to put more reliance on what he's doing, on what he wants to do, and to trust him for the answer. And you got to learn to be okay with that. You know, he doesn't get that to us right up front, because everybody would run like, you know, they'd run out the door because they'd be afraid. Well, what do you mean? I've got to have complete dependency on something that I can't see, something that I don't necessarily feel every day. But that's what God has called us to. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to know why God has called us. We have to seek these things out. We have to get into the Word. We have to get into the Spirit. We have to do all the things that he's given us to enter into this place. Amen? We're going to start over there in Hebrews 2:3, and really we're only going to focus on part of this verse. But the part that we're focusing on is at least most pertinent to this message. So Hebrews 2. Verse 3, it says here, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, as I was thinking about this message, and as I think about this, this theme kind of rolls over in my heart over and over and over again. This idea of neglecting such a great salvation. We're so thankful to be saved. Is there anyone thankful to be saved? Yes. I'm so thankful that Jesus did things that I couldn't do. You know, in the truth of the matter, the reality of things, most of us will never have to be crucified. Most of us will never have to pay that kind of price. Most of us will never have to be nailed to a cross. Most of us will never have to be beaten the way that Jesus was beaten. Amen? He did it all. It's a great salvation. There is a price that was paid for us that is unimaginable. Glory to God. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. But it says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? To neglect means to make light of or to be careless of. So how will we escape if we're careless of such a great salvation? See, so many Christians, they fail in the... in the area of neglecting. What they do is they neglect the salvation, the thing that Christ has paid for. They neglect this place that he's, this door that he's opened. They've neglected this calling that he's placed on our lives. Each and every one of us has been called to something. God has called us to him. Praise the Lord. And in that, there is a work that is to be done. But so many people get saved and they never go any further than that. They just get saved, and maybe they show up to church once in a while, but that's what it is. And maybe even they start living a pretty decent life. Maybe their life changes a little bit. Maybe they get off drugs, or maybe they start, they stop swearing, or maybe they stop drinking, or maybe they just start, you know, living a life that's pretty decent. But, you know, and maybe it's blessed. Maybe there's prosperity that comes into their life. Maybe doors open for them that never opened before, but they're still neglecting that salvation because they never could truly consider it, never really crosses their mind. And truly, I don't know if it's even taught in a lot of churches anymore that there is a work that is to be done. It's easy to be a Christian that just comes on Sunday, sits in church, listens to a message, and then goes home. But to some people, just coming to church is the work. That's the hardest thing for them. It's like, I can't tell you how many times I've been with my pastor and we've gone to special meetings or something like that, and we've showed up right before the meeting and we go in there and we sit down and we're like, is this what people really have a hard time with? That they have a hard time with coming to the place where God wants to send them out from. See, there is an equipping that happens in the local storehouse, and how many people do nothing with that equipping? They live the life they always lived. They never reach for more. They live the life that they were always in. They never see anything other than that. And I'm going to tell you something. You may be in a position where you think that my life just can't be changed. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. The devil would love you to think that even though, you know, you may have accepted the Lord with some hope, the devil would love you to think that there's no hope. But it's a matter of what you're going to choose to believe. There is a hope. Will you walk in the hope? Amen. You know, just as the doors open to the church, we open the doors, or someone opened the doors, they unlock the doors and they let them open, and you were able to come in. You didn't have to do anything. If you got here at the right time, you might not have even had to hold the door for yourself. I mean, that's how easy it is to come into the house of the Lord. There's no brownie points for coming into a place that's so easy to enter. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what do we do with this thing? Have we forsaken all? Have we really left behind what we came in with? You know, when we come into the faith, we come in with a lot of things. We come in with baggage. We come in, when all of us do, on some level or another, we all come in with something. And even if you've been in the faith and maybe you've changed churches and you come to a new church with new hope, you're coming in with baggage, with new hope. And yet that the choice is up to you whether or not you leave that baggage where you came from, or whether you bring that in and just replant it in a new place. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. The salvation that God has called us to is much more than just getting us to feel good. It's much more than just getting us right. And that's an important thing, and we should understand that. And the reason we should believe that is the very fact that we know that God has something for us to do. If we know that God has something for us to do, then it's not hard to believe that he would want to equip us and make sure that we can do that. It's not hard to believe that God would do good things, because if you want somebody to accomplish something for you, you don't stop them from being able to. You don't hinder them from doing so. The only thing that hinders us is our own affections, as the Bible would tell us. Amen? The only thing that hinders us is what we aren't willing to do, where we aren't willing to reach. Because as Jesus, I think it was Jesus that said, right? And I say that kind of facetiously. I know that it was him that said it. But all things are possible to him who believes. But see, so often, and there's people that take that and say, well, all things are possible to him who believes. That means I can believe for whatever I want and I can get whatever I want. That is not what that scripture is talking about. That scripture is in context of someone who has forsaken all and come to Christ and said, I give it all up for you. I sacrifice my life for you because you sacrificed your life for me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All things are possible now in whatever I have to do. And it's important for us to know that. It's important for that to be so ingrained in us that for a moment we wouldn't hesitate if the Lord said go. For a moment we wouldn't hesitate if the Lord said this is what I need you to do. And see, a lot of times the Lord isn't speaking to people because people haven't ever laid down what they came in with. You know, God will accept you with your baggage, but the first thing he's going to do is start removing the baggage. Because all baggage does is slow us down. You know, when I travel to a meeting in another place, and when I have to take a plane, I have extra luggage that I have to take with me, because if I'm going to go to meetings, you know, I like to wear my suits and stuff. And so I bring my suit bag, and I have to bring that with my other bag, which carries my normal clothes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I always go through the airport with bags. And as I've grown accustomed to traveling a little bit, I've learned to start making things easier on myself. I learned to pack one pair of shoes instead of two pairs of shoes. So if I'm going to do that, I have to bring all the right color suits, you know, because I have to go with the shoes. And so, but I do that. I make that mental note, whereas before I might have brought two pairs of shoes. And maybe before I would have brought, you know, the suits that I needed and an extra just in case. And now I bring a little less than I need, praise the Lord, just to get me through. You know what I'm saying? Because what's the reason for this? Because when I'm traveling, you know, when I'm at the hotel, that's fine. There's nothing going on. Things are hanging up. But I have to get there. And when I get on my way there or on my way from there, I have all this extra baggage. And all it does is slow me down. There's been a few times where I've been blessed to be able to travel with nothing but a backpack, where I don't have to wait for the baggage claim. I don't have to wait for the, you know, to make sure they come off the airplane. And that's always a little bit nerve-wracking, at least it is to me anyways, because I'm always convinced, just a little bit convinced, that my bag isn't coming off that plane. Because I've had that happen to me before. Fortunately, it was on my way home, so I didn't need everything that was in there as much. But that's happened to probably everybody. But when you have a backpack and you just carry it on and you throw it up in the thing and then you grab it and you leave, you can get right out the door and go, and it's wonderful. But that's exactly what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to remove that baggage so that we can run for him. God, and that's why we should believe it. Because again, if I'm going to ask you to do something, I'm not going to give you all this extra weight to tie you down. I'm not going to chain you and say, now I want you to run. Amen. And so God isn't doing that either. And so it shouldn't be hard for us to believe that he has a plan. But the plan is directly connected to whether or not we neglect it or not. Do we make light of? Are we careless with this great salvation which he saved us with? We should ask ourselves this all the time. Do you know I write check myself daily? What do I mean by that? I mean, I check myself every day to make sure that I'm still on track. Yep. Every day. I question myself every day. I never question God, ever. I don't ever question God. Sometimes I question his judgment when it comes to myself, but glory to God, but that usually fades pretty quickly. But I'm joking with that. I don't question God. When God has done something, I know the reason that I come here is because I know that God has called me to. And because I know God has called me to, that enables me to. Shoot, I came here when it was super awkward. I came here when I was super unable. I'm still unable, but I was even more unable before, and I still came. Why? Because I trust God. Yeah. See, we have to learn to trust God, and that he's called us to do, that when he's called us to do something. But I write check myself every single day. Am I on track? And sometimes I find myself not on track. Sometimes I will write check myself for quite a while. I mean months, maybe months, even sometimes a couple years, on one thing. I'll keep going. There's just making sure of this, just making sure of this, just making sure of this. And all of a sudden I find out, wait a minute, I was that much off. I was just, and maybe it was just that much different a way of looking at something, but I'm not okay with that. I don't want to be that much off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. God loves us. We know that, right? I don't think there was very many, if anybody, in here that disagreed with that when I said it. So it shouldn't be hard for us to believe that God loves us and he's going to continue trying to do good things for us. Amen? We have to get off of that. We have to move away from that. A Christian who will not move away from the idea that God is, or move into, I should say, the idea that God is good to them all the time, that he wants continually good for you, a Christian who will not move into that is a Christian that will stay stuck forever. They're a Christian that will never get out. And that the only cause for that is because that Christian will not receive it. I said the only cause for that is because that Christian will not receive it. God has done more than he can do, more than enough to prove to us that he loves us so deeply that he would do anything for us. There should be no doubt in our minds. We have to get beyond that. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says here in verse 15, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And verse 16, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Sanctify means to render, which also means to cause to become. So you cause to become, you make him cause to become. Another way of saying it is also set apart. Set apart Christ in your hearts. We're not, yes, go back to 15. Sanctify Christ, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. This is a very, very, very important statement. We could read over. I mean, there's other good stuff in the scripture. We're going to get into it. But this is a very important part of the scripture that opens a door for us that we need, or is a door for us that we need to see, we need to walk through. And that's setting apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. That means that we have determined in our hearts that God is, that Christ is Lord of my life. Praise the Lord. If you want the blessings of God flowing in your life, if you want the ability of God flowing in your life, if you want salvation to not just be something that you say, but to be a reality, this is an absolute must. Christ has got to be set apart in your heart as Lord. He is Lord of my life. Praise the Lord. When you start from this place, everything else will fall into place. Glory to God. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. What's really interesting about this, praise God, what's really interesting about this is this is written to every believer, but this is basically called every believer into a vocal ministry. This scripture right here has called every believer into a vocal ministry. Meaning you may not always minister in a pulpit, or you may never minister in a pulpit, but each and every one of us has to have Christ set apart as Lord in our heart, but also we need to be ready for a defense. What is that? We need to be ready with an explanation of why we have this hope. Yeah. The sad truth is if I went to a lot of Christians, and I say this from the standpoint of talking to a lot of Christians, but if you talk to a lot of Christians and I ask them what your hope is, they couldn't tell me. They couldn't express what they couldn't tell me why that they've trusted in God, or why they believe in the Lord, or why they continue with him. And see, this is a problem. This is a real pandemic in the local church, in the body of Christ, is that Christians, they have no hope. Christians are not moving forward with the hope that God has placed on the inside of them. He said, wait a minute, I've done all this stuff for you. I sacrificed my son for you. He sacrificed himself for you, knowingly going to the cross, knowingly being beaten, knowingly being tortured by all hell, praise the Lord. He did this knowingly so that you could be sure of one thing, and that's the hope of salvation, that you could trust God, that you could always know. And yet so many Christians, they couldn't even answer this. Because if you ask most Christians, they're depressed all the time. If you ask most Christians, they're sad all the time. They never think it's going to work out. You have to explain to Christians over and over and over again that God is even good. Yeah. Now listen, we all have moments, and there's nothing wrong with having a moment. Sometimes I have I might have a moment up here tonight. Who knows? Praise the Lord. We all have moments, but moments should be just what moments are. Moments. A moment is not a lasting thing. A moment is a moment. So you have a little bit of a moment, and then you get beyond it, and you move on to new moments. Because you have hope, because you have understanding, because you have expectation in who God is and what He did. And you know that you couldn't have done it. See, the thing is if we can't get to that very simple hope, if that can't be a foundation in our life, we have to ask ourselves, have we ever really truly gotten saved? Have we really ever accepted the truth? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you believe in your confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You have to confess in your mouth, but that confession means nothing if there's no belief in your heart. So what do you believe, Christian? What do you believe about God? Do you believe that He set you apart? Do you believe that He saved you? Do you believe that He's created a way for you, or don't you believe it? And if you do believe it, then you need to remind yourself of that when you start going through the trials, when the devil starts throwing things at you. Because I'm going to tell you something. In America, we're soft. We don't see anything. I've been doing some reading. Oh, boy. I've been doing some reading. I've been doing a lot of reading. And I've been convicted. Really convicted. Really convicted. Because I haven't been reading how to make your life the best that it can possibly be kind of books. I've been reading books that deal with real Christian walks. Real Christian life. And the church in America is disgusting. I said it's disgusting. Because we're more interested in whether or not we are going to be able to get that extra thing that we wanted than we are about sacrificing anything for the Lord. And yet there's people all over the world who are throwing. There's one place I was reading about where these believers are literally, they're putting them in barrels, believers, just because they're believers. They're putting them in barrels, sealing the barrels, and throwing them into the ocean. And you think you've got trial? People, Christians. That's exactly what they're doing. That's just the least of it. That isn't even. I read about there's a guy who there's a man who has a ministry. It's called Voice of the Martyrs, and many of you probably have heard about it. But the minister who started that was in prison for nearly 20 years, not in just a prison. I mean, we're talking about a prison in a like third world country kind of prison, and for three of those years was in solitary confinement. We don't have it so bad, guys. You know, no matter where we're coming in, we have to understand, we need this perspective. But America, I've said this before, when I traveled to Brazil, I went to Brazil and saw real poverty. Poverty like you've never seen before. And you come back to America, and not to be mean, but the poor in America are fat. The poor in America, they're overfed. That you can get food if you want food. I could go get food right now probably for free if I wanted to. And what's the point that I'm trying to make? The point that I'm trying to make is I'm not saying people don't come on hard times. People do. But when we have perspective and we understand that we're spoiled in this country, we have a gospel that it's never really tested. I mean, there was times in the past, there's times where believers were tied to stakes and their children were being sacrificed if they didn't reject the name of the Lord. And there's believers that watched their children die. Because they would not refuse the name of Jesus. And yet we think we got it tough here. We think we got it bad because maybe someone we don't like, either way, it doesn't matter what part of the aisle you're on, at some point you're going to have somebody in office that you're not going to like. And oh, that's the thing that we're focused on. Oh, that's the thing, you know, the kind of gas prices are going up. That's a, what a shame. How is anybody going to ever live? Praise the Lord. And there's people in other countries, there's Christian missionaries in other countries that are literally walking everywhere they go. Gas, that would be nice. Glory to God. It would be even better to have something to put it in. You understand, we have to look at these things differently. We're not, the reason we're not seeing the power of God the way that we should is because we're not being a church that deserves or could even carry the power of God. We couldn't, because one of the things that God requires is righteousness, is to be holy. Yes. And yet Christians today, I mean, you have to tell Christians that it's wrong to go to a bar. You have to tell Christians that it's wrong to do drugs. You have to tell Christians that it's wrong to fornicate. Yep. That's our country. That's our culture. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And they want the power of God. Yeah. If we want the power of God, we're going to have to do the things to receive that power or to even be worthy to carry that. But here's the thing. It's not just up to the pastors. It's up to the pastors to teach it. It's up to the pastors to preach it. But it's up to the people to do it. Yeah. It's up to the people to build the church and to win the lost and to go into the world. I mean, it's not that I'm neglected or I'm exempted from it, because I am. I'm not. Because I have to do the same thing. But my point is that a pastor is not the one who's going to grow the church. Right. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. In fact, the only way the Lord will grow the church, because he's the one who grows the church, is when people are actually care about it, yeah, when it actually means something. But no, I got to church just to get what I need. Now listen, there's a point in time when you first come into the church and you're first getting stuff that you needed. That's good. Yeah. But at some point, we have to become not babies anymore. We have to start eating solid food. Yeah. We have to start doing the work of the Lord instead of waiting for it to be done for us. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And that's exactly what that means. To set him apart means that Jesus Christ has lordship over my life. You know, in the Bible, a pastor is told not to lord over his people's lives. Amen? But Jesus is going to lord over, or supposed to lord over our lives, but he only do so if we allow him to. And so what do we make the determination. Do I want the change in my life? If I want the change, then I decide today, who's Lord? Am I going to stay Lord? Because if you keep doing your thing, then you'll keep having what your thing got you. The only reason things don't change is because we don't go to the one who changes them. We rely on the one who kept them going the same way. Amen? A lot of people come to Christ and they think, well, that's just it. If I come to accept Jesus, I'm good. But they're not. And they'll learn that very quickly. They'll learn that in a matter of a few months or a year. They'll learn all of a sudden. You know, I say this example all the time. I was dealing with this person, and they needed great help, and they were getting great help. But there was something that was off in the mix, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And I remember that the Lord spoke to me and said, they have never loved me. They've never sold out. They do this to get helped, but they've never done it for me. They've never connected to me. And as a result, of course, they fell away. Because that's what people who aren't connected do. People who aren't connected fall away. And the connection is not on God's end. He's given us every ability to have it. How? Well, but what if I don't know how? He's got a church on every single corner across the United States, pretty much. Some little towns have more churches than they have people. Praise the Lord. Ask somebody. But nobody thinks to come, because the thing is they know, most people know, if I come to this, I'm going to have to change my life. When are the churches going to return to preaching you need to change? It's not enough to stay who you were. You come in who you were, but you better leave differently. Glory to God, you need to leave with something, because it was what was unchanging in your life that kept you in the mess you always were in. And what's unchanging in our lives collectively that keeps the church in the mess that it's in, that keeps Christianity in the mess that it's in. We have to be willing to go with God, or we're not going to have him. Amen. Keep. I love it. Says that when we are ready to give this account of our hope, that we do it with gentleness and reverence, and we keep a good conscience, so that in the thing that we are slandered, because they will slander you. But those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Glory to God. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. We do ourselves good if we woke up every morning, looked in the mirror, and said, it's time for change. There was someone else that was part of our church for a time, and it was the same thing. I actually baptized this person. You know, there's a lot of people I baptize that don't come to the church anymore. It's kind of interesting, but so I actually baptized this person. And I remember when I baptized them, this was another one of those moments, right? when I baptized them, they just before I dunked them, I remember them saying, you know, they whispering something about a new beginning. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. And they were saying it with some people would think was hope, but I realized it wasn't really hope. You know, biblical hope is expectation that it will be. Of course, that person, of course, isn't here as well. And the reason that you know, there's different reasons. There's people that aren't in this church because I've chased them away. I'll admit to that. You know, you can't be perfect all the time, and I certainly am. But there's people that have been here because they didn't like what I was preaching. And, you know, then the Lord actually dealt with me on this one point, just recently, actually. He told me, do not weaponize the pulpit. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Never use the pulpit as a way to get at somebody. Not that I was doing that, but made me aware that that's something that happens. And so I may become extra, or I should say this, you know, there's times I probably have done it not knowing that that's what I was doing, or not intending to do that, but that's what it was. But God made me aware of it. Amen. And so, you know, that's certainly the case. But in these cases that I'm talking about, it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with what they want and what they didn't want. And what they didn't want is they wanted relief, but they didn't, from their life, but they didn't want to change. They wanted to keep doing the same things they were doing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like somebody, somebody who's doing, somebody who's drinking and they say they drink alcohol all these years, and all of a sudden they get cancer from it, because you can get cancer from it, or they get alcohol poisoning or cirrhosis of the liver or something like that, and where they maybe they die or dying from it, and they want relief from it. But the fact of the matter is, if they never put it down, you can't expect never. You know, I used to think that when I used to be a smoker, and when I would smoke cigarettes, and I'm not coming down on people. If you smoke, it's not that, you know, you're going to go to hell or anything. We often say this to just get you to heaven quicker. But the truth of the matter is, with that is, when I was smoking, I was realizing by the time I was 28 years old, I couldn't walk a flight of stairs without being winded. And I realized that wasn't going good for me. And so what was happening? I was poisoning myself. I was slowly killing myself. And so I couldn't go to God and want healing or expect healing. I could go to him and want it, but I couldn't go to God and expect healing if I was going to continue doing the thing that was destroying my body, because you won't get it. You know, I remember somebody who would, another person I was working with, praise the Lord. Is that all the people no, it's not just people I work with, but it was somebody else I was working with, and they no longer go to this church anymore. But I remember sitting with them, and they were making decisions that were bad, and I was trying to help them not make those decisions, but they weren't listening. They were doing what they wanted to do, and they went down that road anyways, and then they found themselves in a big pickle. And then they were bawling to me. I remember one particular day, and I'm not being insulting. They were literally bawling. They were crying and crying and weeping, and they were so upset because of the situation they were in. And they said, I know that God won't give you more than you can handle. And I said, wait a minute. I said, God did not do this to you. These were your decisions. Yes. Your decision can make the determine the outcome. Yes. And so you have to decide if you don't want the outcome or that particular outcome, then you don't do those things for that decision. But this is all about why God, when he calls us to us, starts dealing with us about putting things down, because some of these things we didn't know. I didn't know how to live right before I learned about God. I didn't know how to live right before I was walking this path. But as I was walking this path, I started seeing this was wrong and this was wrong. And the reason it was wrong is because it was destructive, and God wanted to eradicate it out of my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you found 1 Corinthians 2, 1. 1 Corinthians... I think I'm there. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. It says here, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much troubling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now I want to look at what, first of all, we need to qualify verses 3 and 4 because a lot of people talk about this out of context, and I kind of mentioned it. Go ahead and go back to 3. Praise the Lord. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, I've heard so many people try to explain why Paul was not afraid. I heard so many people try to explain how this was not real weakness, that Paul wasn't dealing with weakness, that he wasn't dealing, that this was reverence and all this stuff, it's uber spiritual stuff. You know, he was spiritual after all. We know Paul was spiritual. But see, the problem is that's not the truth. Glory to God. The Bible, wouldn't you know, tells us the truth. And we're going to qualify this to find out what Paul meant. We're going to go over there to Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 9 and 10 says, "And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision." Everybody say, "The Lord said to Paul,
in the night
by a vision." Okay, so you're getting something over to Paul. When God gives visions, what did we learn this not too long ago? When God gives visions, he needs to get something to you. When God gives visions, there's a purpose in it. And this was the vision that Paul had. "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent." Verse 10. "For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." Paul was afraid. He was scared. He was trembling in his boots. Why? He said that without the boots part. He was trembling in his sandals. He was afraid. The reason that this made it into this part of the sermon is because we have to see something. See, I've been talking about being called into something. I know we've gone some other ways, but I've been talking about being called. And most of us will sit there and think, just like I always did, that I can't possibly be called because I couldn't possibly do that. I couldn't possibly speak. I couldn't possibly step out and use my faith. I couldn't possibly trust God. Praise the Lord. And here we're given the Apostle Paul. He said, "I was with you in much fear and trembling." And then he tells us that we go back here to Acts 18 and we see, because this is when he was in Corinth. And in all fairness, Paul had been beaten and thrown into prison. He had been stoned. He had been stoned within an inch of his life. I mean, he was almost dead. He had been beaten so many times, shipwrecked and all these things. And so in all fairness, Paul probably had a little bit of a reason to be afraid. But maybe coming from your past or wherever you came from, you have a little bit of reason to be afraid too, because all you knew was fear. All you knew was not being able. All you knew was not enough. And that's fine. Come in from that place of not knowing that you can do it. That's good. But sooner or later, we have to get the vision, and thank God that he doesn't have to give us all a vision, because we might wait for a while. But right here we see Paul's vision, and if he told Paul, and he said he's not a respecter of persons, he did it for Paul, he's with Paul, he'll be with us too. So when God has called us to do something, we have to embrace it. In fact, we need to not just embrace that God has called us to do it, we have to look for what God has called us to do. Because if you're not looking, if you're not actively looking for what the Lord wants you to do, you will never find it. Because he says to seek and you'll find. He says to knock and it'll be open to you. He said to ask and you'll receive. But all those things come from faith. You have to seek in faith. If you don't believe, you'll never seek. If you don't trust, you'll never knock. You'll think, "Wow, what's the point? The door won't open anyways." You got to know who God is. And maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're sitting there thinking, "But I don't know who God is." That's good. I do, and I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. You've come to the right place at the right time to hear the right message. Just the one you needed. You didn't know, but now you do. Hallelujah. I said you didn't know, but now you do. And God will set you free too. But he sets us free for a purpose. He equips us for a purpose. God has no problem with your life being good, but your life will be good for a purpose. So you can take his goodness out to the world and share it with others. It's not so you can sit on your duff and collect all the goodness for yourself and say, "Look at all the goodness I collect." Because someday you're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, "What did you do with what I told you?" We've got the parable of the people with the talents. For God's sake, and we still can't get this. We have the parables that tell us that God provides and that he gives each according to their ability. We're out seeking what we think we need to make us happy. And the whole time God said, "I will give you what will make you happy if you'll just trust me, if you'll just follow me." Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It doesn't mean our life will be without trial, but we have to remember it wasn't anyways. Praise the Lord. Your life wasn't without trial anyways. Now you have hope. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hope is expectation. I have something to expect. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If there's anything that this living in this area teaches us, is that things change. The expectations change. Glory to God. Doesn't matter where you were thinking. You might still have been in summer in your mind, but today you surely went to your closet and found what you do in winter. And so your expectation changed. It changed quickly, but it changes. And that's okay. It's okay for us to have change and to have that upset because we have God. See, the change and the upset doesn't matter if you have someone who's bigger than the change and bigger than the upset. And we do. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. So we were over there. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. Now again, I think a lot of people like to exaggerate what a spirit and a power is. Spirit and a power, when the demonstration of the spirit of power is a man who was previously afraid and hiding is now stepping out and doing the work of the Lord. It's a demonstration of spirit of power that I even come here tonight. That I even step up here. It's a demonstration of a spirit to change. And it's just like you might not realize this, but my life has not always been this. The life that I came from was much different than the life that is now. Demonstration of spirit and of power. Does that mean that anything spiritual won't happen? Am I saying that? No, absolutely not. Glory to God. We've had laid hands on people and they've been healed before. It's happened. I haven't physically seen it change, but we know that it has because they got the report back and that they were healed. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What a demonstration of spirit and power, but that's not all that it is. Right. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I often say, I'm a high school dropout, went back and got my good enough diploma. And yet the Lord still uses me. I don't have a college education, dropped out of that too. Tried to go back to college, dropped out of that. Figured it was pointless. Yet the Lord still uses me. Praise the Lord. Hated to read, and yet the Lord still uses me. Now he's making me read. I've been reading a lot. I don't even know where it's come from. I hated to read. I hated it. Ask my wife. She knew. She had to read to me. Yeah, absolutely, the truth. The only reason I made it through the ministry training that our church goes through is because of my wife. Because there were certain books I was like, I can't read this. I'm reading it, but I'm not learning anything because I don't even remember what I just read. That's how far out of my mind it was. Amen. And now I'm reading book after book after book. Why? And I'm not trying to pat myself because it's not me. I'm no different than I was before other than what Jesus has done. Yeah. So it's either relying on him or we're in a whole heap of trouble. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians, you're in 1 Corinthians 2. We read that. Now let's jump down. I want to jump down to verse 12. What's it say here? It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. We can know those things. Absolutely. You don't have to seek them out. If you follow God, the spirit of the Lord will teach you what belongs to you. You don't have to make bad investments anymore. You know what's wonderful about buying a car with the direction of the Lord? I buy the right car every time. It's never trouble. It's just not a trouble. Yep. Amen. Sometimes the devil tries to throw things in there, but it's not trouble. Why? Because when you don't seek it out, the last vehicle I got, listen, this is great. The last vehicle I got, which was just a couple months ago. Praise the Lord. It increased us to get it. It would have cost us money not to get it. Yeah. And it was a better vehicle, newer vehicle. Praise the Lord. it would, like I am not exaggerating, would have cost us money not to get it. And it's better than what we had before. Praise the Lord. What is that? It's the blessing of the Lord. But I wasn't looking for a vehicle. I had no idea. I was going to have coffee with a friend, and there was the vehicle. And it was like all of a sudden it was moved on me. I was like, what about that? Door open, bang, there it was. Hallelujah. That easy. See, but I'm not talking about vehicles, though. I'm talking about life, not seeking things out, not having to try to figure life out. You don't have to do that. That's for unsaved people. Let them be out there confused. You aren't supposed to be confused. Know what God has called you to do. And then when he's called you to do something and you know what that is, the provision meets you every time. I said, it's always there. Amen. Doesn't matter what the gas prices do because you ain't going to control that. You can complain about it, but just like the weather, they're going to change. Amen. And it'll probably do something you don't like. Amen. But that don't matter. Hallelujah. I love this. I love this life. Living for the Lord, there's nothing better, but Christians, we have to start living for the Lord. And I'm not saying that I'm living perfectly for the Lord either. I'm trying to figure it all out too. You know, because I'm breaking down some barriers as well. But we're getting there. Hallelujah. And I think we need to go there together. So we have not received the spirit of the world, because that's the spirit that doesn't know anything. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But look at this. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Or discerned, you could say that too. In some versions it says, the natural man is one whose faith is on natural means. I can't do this. Ask yourself why. Because I never was able to. I could never do it before, so I can't now. Natural man, that's not spiritual thinking. And if you're not going to embrace spiritual thinking, you'll only think naturally. You're right, you can't. And you never will. You know the difference? The Lord showed me this once. There was me and there was this other man. This man, it was a man I was working with. It was before I was pastoring and stuff like that. It was me and this man. And the pastor had set me up to help out, you know, try to help guide him because I had been, you know, grown a little bit. And so I had been used. And I'm working with this man. And the Lord showed me this one day. The only difference between me and him was the fact that I embraced the truth and he would not. And to this day, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Not because he's bad. Not because I'm extra good. But because I embraced the truth and he didn't. The only difference. There's a call in everybody's life. Not necessarily to pastor, but a call for something. God has called you into his plan. That's why he saved you. If God didn't intend on putting you into the plan, he never would have saved you. He would have let you perish. Why would there have been any point for Jesus to die for you if there wasn't a plan? See, we have to think about that. Why do we do what we do? Everybody does things for a reason. If you eat, you probably eat because you're hungry. If you overeat, you overeat because you wanted it. You know what I mean? There's ideas to these things. I only talk about that because I've been watching what I eat a lot, but lately. Glory to God, I've been working on that again. But, you know, the idea is that, you know, that's a process that I'm very aware of every single day. Amen? So we only do something with some sort of plan. Even though it's maybe not spelled out or a big plan, it's some sort of idea. There's some sort of reason why we do it. You know, people say everything happens for a reason. You've heard me run on this before, and it's been a while, so I'll run it on again. Yeah, everything happens for a reason, and sometimes that reason is because you're a fool. Yeah, that everything happening for a reason. That's such a blanket, dumb statement, really. And we've all said it. I've said it too. But everything happens for, yes, there is a reason for everything that happened. Because everything happens because something else made it happen. That would be the reason. It's that simple. We don't, let's not like get into that foolish, like, and if you said it recently, you're forgiven because like I said, I've said it too before. Amen? Just don't say it again in front of me now that you've heard it. Amen? Because then we'll point at you and make fun of you. No, we won't. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. the natural man, if we're going to be natural, if we're going to be the naturally minded, in other words, only our faith or our assurance is only in what we see. Do you know in your paycheck, you get your paycheck and you're like, oh, good, it was enough to pay this week's bills, natural minded.
Yes.
Glory to God, I can't even tell you what my paycheck is. I can't even tell you what it is. I have no idea what it is. I know a year, I make a year, but I have no idea what it is week to week. I don't need to. My wife does. She takes care of it. But the point is that it's. I'm not worried about it either. I'm not. Is it up or down? Is it time to get a raise? I don't even think about that stuff because it does not matter to me. Surely there's things I want sometimes. I wish I had more money to get them. But my point is in saying that is that I don't control those things. I don't even try to control those things. In fact, I don't think I've ever, since I've been pastoring, have I asked for a raise? That's not that I say I've never gotten one, but I'm just saying I've never asked for one. Most people go seeking one. I don't even do that, amen, because we're not doing it. You know, it's that, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, me, oh, look how awesome I am. It has nothing to do with that. My point is saying is that I've learned to trust in the Lord for what he does, amen?
Yeah.
But that also, I'm gonna take this a step further. I have time. I've got 6 seconds to tell you. Praise the Lord. I couldn't quite see it. I was seeing the numbers count down. But I'm going over, you know that. Yeah, it's over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't even know what I was going to say now. I got distracted by the clock that I couldn't see anyways. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, maybe if it's important, I'll come back to it. Yeah, I got the point across. All right, so we're gonna go to this place. It's not just about the call, but what is the call for? What has God called me to? We need to understand this. That should be the focus of our day. That should be the focus of our life. What, God, do you want for me to do today? Or what do you want me to do today? Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Ephesians. Turn with me, Ephesians 4. Praise God. The clock just got you out of another story. I will. Honestly, this time though, Jen, I don't think I'm going to remember it. A lot of times I say I'll come back to me, but I'm really sure it's gone. It's so far from me. Praise the Lord. But I appreciate you willing to hear, though. Oh, man. I hate those moments, too. When I'm up here preaching, and then all of a sudden I'm like onto something, and I get distracted by myself, and then I lost where I was, and I go, oh, no. What was it? And I have that thought go through my mind. I literally hear myself in my head go, oh, no. Quick, get me out of this. Me? Ephesians 4. Well, I've got that written down, so I can see that real quick. I'll go right there and... That's the problem with preaching by inspiration. See, when you got notes, you just go back to the don't. And, oh, yeah, that's where it was. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Amen. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Boy, we could spend a lot of time on those words right there, showing tolerance for one another in love. God is still working on me. He's still working on me to get there. Praise the Lord. But I'm trying to listen, I'm trying real hard. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. See, the problem is the reason a lot of people aren't walking is because they don't really know what's worthy. They don't even really know what the manner of that we've been called. How have we been called? What does this calling mean? And that's why it's been on my heart so much to get people to see this. Because we need a reset. We, the Church of God, not meaning the Church of God as a denomination, but the church that belongs to the Lord, hallelujah, the people of God, we need a reset. We need to go back to the former things. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get beyond the pain, the hurt, the suffering, the world falling apart, and realize that we're the reason it's falling apart. We have to realize that we're the reason that it isn't stronger, isn't better. We're the reason that America is crumbling. Amen? The church is. It's the church's fault. We can complain about whoever we want, but it's the church's fault. How do I say that? How can I say that? Because if the church would do what it was supposed to do, it would be just as strong as it ever was. Amen. God hasn't given up on the church, and he hasn't given up on you. God has never given up on you. Listen, if you hear those words in your head or on the outside of you from somebody else's head, doesn't matter. If you hear the words that God has given up on you, the one thing that you can be assured of is that it is an absolute lie from the pit of hell. It's all that it is. God has never given up on you. He gave us, he gave everything. I say this all the time. He's even older now. My oldest son is older. How old are you? 24. He made it to 24. Yeah. Praise God. He made it to 24 years old. And even at 24 years old, he's out on his own. He's living the life. Glory to God. He's married. Praise the Lord. He's living the life. He's doing his thing. He's got a full-time job. Needs me for nothing. I still would not give one hair on his head for any one of you. And God let Jesus give everything for all of us, for the worst of the worst. I don't care how good you are. I wouldn't give one hair on his head for you. And I mean that. And you can think that I'm selfish, but if you would, there's something wrong with you. I mean, not his head. You can give. No. I'll give your hair for other people. No, I'm just kidding. Personally. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, if we can know that God paid that price, that kind of price, there's no way that he would be like, oh, yeah, I just did that. Because that's what it felt like at the time. So I'm going to give up on him now. No big deal. God isn't giving up on you. A lie. And if you embrace lies, what do you get? You get what the lies get you. Untruth. That's why the Bible's called us to truth. God has called us to truth. He's given us the truth. His Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Amen? So if it's something, if you're listening to a spirit that's a lie, it's a spirit of lying. It's not the Spirit of truth. It's not God. And therefore, you know it's not true, so reject it. Amen? We have to, all the time we have to go, so we have to remind ourselves, I have to remind myself of stuff daily, because I'm not smart enough to retain it all. Amen. I mean, it's the truth. I spent a whole year, like, learning certain scriptures, stopped saying them for a month, completely forget where they are. Why? Because that's just the way it is. It doesn't matter. I've got the word in my heart. I keep going to the word. I keep putting it in my heart. I don't control that. I mean, maybe if I ate more broccoli or something, it would work. I don't know, but that's the way that it works. Doesn't seem the way. Well, I'm not going to eat more broccoli, so that's just all there is to it. If I can't remember, thank God I have a book and a phone and a, you know, iPad and all that stuff. Glory to God to help me remember. And a wife, she'll help me too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Praise the Lord. How are we going to do that if we're not seeking out God? How are we going to do that if we're not seeking out the plan? You know what the easiest thing in the world, the thing that would set you the most free is, and this is what I'll close with right here. What would set you the most free is whatever trouble you're facing in life, you say, if you would say to yourself, if you would look at it and say, that's not worth the calling of God. It's not worth it. That trial, me fussing over this, it's not worth giving up walking for the Lord. And so I just won't go there. I'm just not going to accept it. That's how you get it fixed. That's how it fixed. You just make that decision. When you make that decision in your heart, guess what? The door's open. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're all called to something. Let's be called to it. Let's find out what it is and then walk it out in a worthy manner.